Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but didn't hear it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We know most of the details about Saints Joachim and Anne from the pseudo or proto gospel of Saint James. In it, it describes how they were childless into old age. And this was considered in Jewish time a curse because children were considered the supreme blessing. And so Zechariah went out into the desert to pray. And the author of this book from the end of the second century said that Anne wept a double lamentation. One lamentation was not enough to capture her sorrow. But their prayers were heard, and they conceived a daughter. The question we might ask is, why did God wait so long? Why did God permit this couple to experience such sorrow, such shame before people? This righteous couple, good couple, were considered cursed by their contemporaries. Why did he make them wait so long? The answer is ultimately to increase their desire. And through their holy desire to be able to influence their daughter, and through her to influence the entire church. Today in the Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear." Then he swears an oath. Many prophets and righteous people, Joachim and Anne were righteous, longed to see what you see but didn't see it, to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. Longing isn't a bad thing. Longing can be a very purifying thing in which you recognize that every child conceived is an extraordinary gift. Sometimes it's easy when, for example, a young couple conceives on a honeymoon and just experiences the blessing of fertility very easily. They can take it for granted sometimes, almost as if it's a biological act. But if a couple's trying to have a child for a year or two or five, or in Joachim and Anne's case, 20 or more, you begin to recognize that a child is a gift from God. Every child is such a gift. So finally, their longing was fulfilled in a way far surpassing what they ever would have hoped for. They were praying just for a child. Little did they know that the child conceived in Anne's womb would be the only immaculately conceived child in the history of the world. Did they ever recognize that it would be through her that not just the long-awaited Messiah, but God would enter the world? Their longing was absolutely worth it. And that teaches us something about every holy longing. Today's first reading from Sirach. We praise those godly men and women, our ancestors, whose virtues haven't been forgotten, whose wealth remains in their family, whose heritage with their descendants. Through them, God's covenant endures. How easy it is to be able to say those words about Saints Joachim and Anne. Their virtues have not been forgotten, and their wealth remains ultimately in their great family, the Church, because not only are they grandparents of God, but they are grandparents of the Church. their wealth remains in their families. What was their wealth? We have no record of their giving a simple piece of thread to Mary to be passed down throughout the ages. We don't have a single coin. We don't have a single word. What do we have? They pass down the most important gift of all, which is the treasure of faith. How incredible it must have been for Mary to be raised in their home. Yes, she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit from the first moment of her conception, and doubtless there were many graces. But she was placed into the context of a home that longed for God. And after their longing had been fulfilled, no doubt was absolutely inundated with gratitude. And she breastfed spiritually on that holy longing and trust in God. Now God fulfills our hopes. It was doubtless from them that she first learned about God's holy word, as she was learning herself to read. It was doubtless from them that she learned many of the sayings that she would treasure in her heart and incorporate not just into her verbal Magnificat at the visitation, but in the Magnificat of her life. They passed down the incredible inheritance of faith. What does this mean for us? A couple things. First, our spiritual life must be characterized by a longing similar to Joachim's and Anne's. Throughout the Psalms, we hear the laments, "How long, O Lord?" We must be the ones who patiently wait and pray. My conversations with many spiritual directees over the last couple of weeks, with the terrible scandal of Cardinal McCarrick and what's coming up in the news about how he would have ever been promoted, about networks out there, not of holiness, but of cover-up and sordid behavior from those for whom every sexual sin is not just a sin, but a sacrilege. Many of them are discouraged, which is understandable. But I continue to try to help them to recognize that we have to have this holy longing. Jesus does. He wants holiness in the church. And we must be the ones who pray it about in cooperation with His will. That the response to every sordid chapter in church history has always been a rebirth in holiness. And that holiness begins, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, with desire. It's got to be a desideratum. It's got to be willed. And circumstances like this are such that we recognize that holiness is desperately needed, particularly in the church in which Jesus laid down His life by water and the word to purify her so that she might be a spotless and immaculate spouse. Longing. Longing for God's graces. Longing for spiritual offspring. You know, I think we talk a lot about spiritual fatherhood and spiritual motherhood, as well as we should. And there's lots of aspects to that analogy. But I think that there's something even greater and more helpful to us in our chaste paternity to spiritual grandparenthood, we could say. Most of us are not going to be involved in the day-to-day activities of raising a child like a parent would. Most of our relationships to children will be more like grandparents, close grandparents' relationships to them, where we're called to emphasize certain things. We're not going to have all of the ordinary responsibilities. One of the most important things that grandparents do in the life of their children and grandchildren is to be a living memory. St. John Paul II talked about this, Pope Benedict, Pope Francis. They've all talked about the importance of grandparents as transmitters of wisdom, transmitters of how to live well, how to die well so as to live forever. It's so key for us when we look at the wealth we've received to grasp that Jesus wants that wealth not to go with us to the grave, but to have that wealth live as a covenant in our families. Just like grandparents, we are called as spiritual grandmothers and grandfathers to pass that treasure on. And we do so very powerfully by our example. Today, as we come forward on their feast day, we remember that the body and blood we're about to conceive was the fusion of their own body and blood in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, from which Jesus took his humanity. That their own body participates in the Eucharist shows how the Lord wants to incorporate our own mystical body in this one perfect sacrifice to the Father. Today, as we praise these godly men and women, as we exalt the grandparents of God, we ask their prayers that we might have a longing resembling theirs, and that we, like them, might pass on to everyone we meet the treasure of our faith, because you just never know someone to whom we pass that on might have an extraordinary role in salvation history.